Apple strikes down Epic once again. OpenAI says Elon, nuh-uh, and you guys are lying about how much you like AMD. Nobody's buying these cards. Let's get in the hot news, everybody. I'm your Brett host. We're going to be going over the hottest tech news I can find on the internet while you enjoy your breakfast this Thursday, March 7th, 2024. We're going to start off today talking about a news story we talked about 4 years ago, and that is Epic Games is no longer going to be approved by Apple to post their stuff to iOS. And this is specifically coming after they were reinstated into the Apple Developer Program. But it turns out, at least according to Epic, Apple is refusing to let them back in because of a tweet made by the CEO of Epic Games. So Epic claiming that they tried to have their Sweden AB developer account to get Fortnite back onto the iOS devices thanks to the Digital Markets Act over in Europe, which is supposed to allow all of this to happen, where you could have third-party payment sites instead of using the one that's built into the actual iPhone, and all of that was great, but then Apple got rid of it. They terminated it after only a few weeks because they publicly criticized their proposed DMA compliance plan. So Tim Sweeney talking about all of this, and they even published their email with Apple, specifically Phil Schiller, who said to Tim Sweeney effectively along the lines of, hey, when you violated our agreement the first time, you did that knowing you were in full breach of understanding of this developer program agreement. You intentionally did this to try to make money. And now that you're out here publicly tweeting again that you don't like the way we're doing things, we expect that moving forward, you're going to be a difficult company to work with. You probably won't uphold our regulations within our program. And so we're choosing to terminate you because you have intentionally acted in bad faith before, and we don't want that to happen again. To which Epic says, hey, they're not allowed to use a tweet as evidence against us because that was what they referenced as far as the official quotes that they used against Tim Sweeney. So Epic doesn't like this. They're complaining about this. And Apple, when they were asked about this, basically said what was in that email. Epic's egregious breach of its contractual obligations to Apple led courts to determine that Apple has the right to terminate any or all of Epic Games' wholly owned subsidiaries, affiliates, and or other entities under Epic Games' control at any time and at Apple's sole discretion. In light of Epic's past and ongoing behavior, Apple chose to exercise that right. So it's clear Apple is just fed up with Tim Sweeney. It's fed up with Epic Games. It doesn't want to deal with them. However, there is a question that's surrounding this of like whether or not this is going to stand up to the European Union's scrutiny of whether or not Apple's violating the DMA. Is this going to be cool? Is this going to fly with them? We'll have to see that play out. The EU is no stranger to slapping Apple with fines. They just got a $2 billion fine for their Apple Music shenanigans. Will this happen when it comes to Epic Games on iOS? Definitely possible. Personally, I think that Apple is just playing petty and is in the, if not legal wrong, but just sensible wrong here. I think Epic should have the ability to do what they're trying to do. I do think, however, on the other token, Tim Sweeney is an antagonist, and he knows that he's like poking the bear on all of this. He hasn't won the lawsuits that he's wanted to win with Apple with regards to this, but it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And what's been interesting for me to see how it plays out is today's video sponsor, Rare Brew Coffee, because this is the coffee company that my wife and I started to help raise funds for SYNGAP Research Fund, which is an organization that's committed to trying to find treatments and cures for my son's rare disease known as SYNGAP1. In case you're a new viewer and you're not aware of our story, my son has over 100 seizures a day, has a whole host of other disorders that are tied to it. We've tried everything under the face of the sun to manage his symptoms, his disorders. If you recommend CBD, we tried it. If you recommend keto, he was on it for 2 years. If you recommend literally anything, I promise you we've been on it. We're in experimental clinical trials now. We are actively always trying to find a way to treat the underlying cause of our son's symptoms, which is the fact that he has the SYNGAP1 disorder. And Rare Brew Coffee Co. is birthed out of that. We've had many sleepless nights of taking care of him where coffee satiates our ability to function the next day, or we've been out trying to talk to other rare disease parents, trying to understand the journey and just commiserate with people, and we do it over a beautiful cup of coffee. And that is why Rare Brew exists, so that we can have a method for raising money for SYNGAP Research Fund, but also tie it to something that we dearly love, which is a good cup of coffee with friends. So we had a massive launch last week. It blew away all of our expectations. pre-orders were great, and then the actual orders once we officially launched were even greater, to the point where we sold out. As of today, we are no longer behind on orders, but if you check out the link in the video description to order yourself one of our medium roast advocate blend, which many people have noticed has a hint of chocolate, has a bit of a citrus flavor, which not like lemon citrus, but more like apricot. It's delicious coffee. It's well regarded by people that we trust to be coffee snobs, and they have thoroughly enjoyed it, and that's not to just appease us. It's good coffee. We love making it. We made sure that it was a sustainable way of doing it, and you can check it out at the link in the video description. If you use code UFD10, you can save 10% off of your first order, and we have subscribe and save. If you want to get Rare Brew Coffee on a weekly or monthly basis, you can do that, where you get a 10% discount for the lifetime of that subscription. So big thanks to all of you for making Rare Brew a huge success last week. We want to continue to make that happen. We want to continue to raise money for SynGap Research Fund, and that's the way we're doing it. And Intel doing a thing that most people aren't going to be excited about, the 14900KS allegedly launching next week. According to reports, there's some details coming out that retailers should have this chip out on March 14th, which is in just a week. This bad boy is going to be exactly the same as the 13900KS, except for it goes 200 megahertz higher, which compared to the 13900KS, it's really not that much of an improvement. Compared to the 14900K, it's not that much of an improvement. But it is neat to see the 12900KS go from 16 cores, 5.5 gigahertz, and the 14900KS go up to 24 cores and 6.2. Massive improvements on those sides. You are paying for it when it comes to the power draw and the amount of heat this thing's going to output, but it'll exist. And one of the things that people have been actually excited about that's going to exist is Ghost of Tsushima is getting its PC release on May 16th. Coming to PC with a director's cut, it's being developed by Nixus, who is the company that's handled a lot of the proper ports from Sony to the PC. And somebody informed me in the comments yesterday that that's actually who's handling the Forbidden West port as well, which I'm excited about. And it's going to have a whole host of features that you would want to see, such as FSR3 and DLSS 3 support at launch, with support for XeSS upscaling as well. It's going to have ultra wide, all of that good stuff. I'm excited for this. I want to see that happen, and I want to see you happen to watch Reese for deals.
Yo, welcome back to UFD Deals, bringing the hottest tech deals out on the internet. And hey, deals. Starting off today, we have the Lenovo Legion Gaming XL Cloth Mouse Pad for only $10.78, making it $7.21 off. And as a recent convert to cloth mouse pads, I don't see myself going back. But then next up, we have this Fifine low profile microphone arm available in white for only $43.99, making it $18 off, and a much better deal than the $99 that this one cost. And then lastly, we have the pretty pricey but very nice Corsair Virtuoso RGB wireless gaming headset for only $179.99, making it $90 off. And that price, we kind of have to take any deal we can if you've been looking to pick one up. They're really nice though. They are very nice. And hey, with that, the deals are done. You can find these and more linked in the video description down below. But until next time, I'm gonna hand you off back to Brett for the rest of your hot news. Cheers.
Well, Reese, we already talked about how Elon Musk feels like he got a bad deal when it came to OpenAI going for profit, and that it's no longer OpenAI, it's closed AI. So he's launched a lawsuit against this company. However, OpenAI has now taken their time to assemble all of the evidence that they need to refute Elon's claims, and basically say that he's just upset he didn't get a huge piece of the pie when it came to OpenAI going for profit. So they published a whole bunch of documents in a blog post showing that Elon actually really wanted to be involved in the for-profit side of OpenAI, and that he thought it should be attached to Tesla, and that he should likely have a majority share in this because he wanted to be the one who profited from all of it, and that he thought that was the only path where it could even hope to hold a candle to Google, and that without Elon and without Tesla, that the probability assessment of OpenAI being relevant to DeepMind/Google without a dramatic change in execution and resources is 0%. He even says in the email, not even 1%, zero. So Elon's saying that he's upset that OpenAI went from a nonprofit to a for-profit, and now it's not open, it's closed, which anybody who was hoping OpenAI would keep that surely is disappointed. But it does seem like there's more information coming out on OpenAI side, kind of refuting a lot of the claims that Elon has said, and mostly showing that this is likely because Sam Altman and the other team members at OpenAI decided that they didn't think that Elon saving OpenAI was the best path forward, and they wanted to do it with a more wholesale approach, having more people buy in at a lesser stake instead of having a gigantic man come in with a lot of money and trying to make the puppetry work for all of that. We'll see how Elon's lawsuit plays out. The last big lawsuit that he tried with Twitter didn't seem to work out in his favor, but we'll keep you updated as things develop. And what's developing in the GPU market is that they're selling a lot of graphics cards are going all over the place. But it turns out AMD, not that popular. The RX 7000 series is the least popular GPU generation that AMD has released since these records have been kept track of in the last 20 years, which honestly, surprising to me, because I actually think the RX 7000 series is a mighty fine competitor to what NVIDIA has, especially when you start getting towards the top end of things. The XTX, brilliant card, 7800 XT, magnificent, love the 7900 GRE, but it turns out that despite the fact that AMD had a market share rise, it was the smallest market share rise they had with a new generation ever. Then that's despite the fact that the discrete GPU market has gone up. It's up 32% compared to the same quarter the previous year. So it's growing quite a bit. And AMD went from having 17% market share in Q3 to 19% market share in Q4. So it is growing compared to NVIDIA, but as mentioned, that comparison is the smallest jump that it's ever had with a new GPU launch. You can see that it has been trending down ever since ATI and AMD fused together to create their own company. It has been on the decline. And in fact, the most popular GPU generation of recent history is the RX 5000 series, where you didn't have that much choice. 5500 XT all the way up to the 5700 XT, kind of focusing on the mid to low end, not going high end toe-to-toe with NVIDIA. And that's why there's some speculation that AMD with the 8000 series might not bring out a high-end card, and it's going to be more where you cap out at the 8700 XT. Could it be because they know that's going to be the best fighting chance that they have to compete with NVIDIA once again? I don't know. But what this does show is that despite all of the banter, all of the hype, all of the, self-praise people want to give AMD across the internet, it just does not reflect the wallets of the people who are making the purchasing decisions. And we're talking on the gaming side. This is not for AI. This is not for server. This is talking about AMD selling gaming graphics cards, and they are continuously doing worse generation over generation. And this latest generation, which I personally have been the most excited about for a very long time, it just appears to be underwhelming. And really, AMD's saving grace here is the fact that the consoles are selling very well. That's their biggest gaming revenue share, not the graphics cards, but rather the fact that they're in the PlayStation 5 and the series consoles. It's intriguing. People want to talk big games on the internet, but unfortunately, you buying a singular RX 7800 XT is not moving the needle enough against Team Green, despite all of their shadiness and despite all of the rage and vitriol. People want to talk against the lean, mean green machine with GPUs in their oven leather jacket wearing Jensen. Doesn't manifest in reality. Speaking of people manifesting things on the internet that aren't real, let's talk about your comments from yesterday. We got Rover saying, press F for GTX, lads. It was fun while it lasted. We'll never forget the memories. Arano saying, rip the last survivor GTX series. And Bosom Film saying, rip the GTX series. Love those cards. A big lot of commemoration of the GTX line of cards. 19 years strong. That was basically the entire time AMD was getting worse, just slipping down while GTX existed. And then we got Mixerus saying, I'm still rocking the GTX 1080 Ti. Will upgrade when the 1590 comes out. Current CPU of 13900K. Wow, you upgraded big on that CPU, but kept it simple on the 1080 Ti. But then we got JMG saying, last week I upgraded my 1060 3GB to a 1080 Ti. I picked it up off Marketplace for $130 and I'm stoked on it. Hey, it's showing its age. It's an older card, 7-8 years old at this point, and probably not going to get driver support for terribly much longer. Obviously, we have to see the 9 series get its driver support removed, which will probably happen, I would guess, later this year, if not sometime next year. And that's gonna be a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow. 10 series coming right after that. And then we got Atomic Doom saying, I thought you were going to say the driver support ended for GTX cards. Thank God that you didn't. Soon, though. Soon. It's the 16 series probably has a little length in it when it comes to driver support, but Man, 9 series and 10 series, it's going to be happening. The RX 580 already kind of losing driver support. The 10 series went toe-to-toe. It's just, NVIDIA's keeping driver support for a while longer, but I think you guys should just be prepared. Not going to get updates. And I'm going to update you tomorrow with more of the hottest tech news. We'll see you then.